great marriages and great relationships of any type are intentional. That more marriages die from inflexibility than anything else. The time to change a major problem in a relationship is before marriage. If you have to win all the time, your marriage is going to be in great trouble.
I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
Well, good morning, church family. Hope that you are doing well today. Good to see you. You know, one of the things that I constantly run across, people have spiritual questions. Sometimes they've been carrying around those questions for years and have never really had a place to dialogue about those to get some answers. Well, we have a solution for that. It's called Starting Point Class. I want you to check this quick little video out. It tells you a little bit about Starting Point.
Everything has a starting point. You had a starting point. Faith has a starting point as well. For most of us, we began to believe something about God as children, and then we became adults, and it didn't work anymore. And there was this growing gap between what we were told as children and what we experienced as adults. Sometimes adults need a new starting point. So we're going to hit the restart button. What if we'd never heard any of those stories? Where would we start? What if we didn't know anything? Where would we start? Because starting off with faith as a child is very different than starting off with faith as an adult.
What a true statement. Starting off with faith as a child is indeed very different than starting off with faith as an adult. If you're interested in Starting Point Class, that class kicks off this coming Tuesday night at 6:30. I facilitate that. Love to have you be a part of that class. You can let me know if you're interested on your connection card. There's a little box you can check. Would love to have you be a part of that class. If you haven't already done so, look inside your program this morning. Take out your message outline. We're on a series that we began 3 weeks ago now entitled Life's Most Important Relationship. The first week we looked at the most important relationship we have of all, and that's our relationship with God. And then last week we talked about marriage, and today we're going to do kind of like a part two, if you would, of marriage. Research tells us that 3 out of every 4 Americans will marry at least once in their lifetime. So the question is, what is God's desire? What's His ideal for your marriage and my marriage? On the fill in the blank on your outline, the very top, you'll see Philippians 2:2. This is a passage of scripture written by the great missionary Paul. And he writes these words to the Christians in the ancient Mediterranean city of Philippi. He said, "Live together in harmony. Live together in love, as though you only had one mind and one spirit between you." God wants the marriage relationship to produce harmony and intimacy and unity. Unfortunately, few achieve this. In fact, in an article in Psychology Today, they state that many people married feel cheated. They feel disappointed because their marriage is not what they anticipated or expected it to be. About 33 years ago, I remember being in a meeting, a leadership meeting in a church that I was working in the San Francisco and the Bay Area. And as we were talking, I don't know how we began to talk about marriage, but we began to talk about marriage among this leadership group. And one gentleman who, professional guy, a pharmacist, had a great job, had a beautiful wife, 2 great kids. He made a statement that I will never, ever forget. It just literally shocked me. As he thought about his own marriage, he made this statement. He said, "If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't get married." And I was really stunned. Now, what really made that a very sad statement was his wife was sitting in that room. And so he was obviously disappointed. What he thought marriage was going to be didn't turn out his way. And so he was expressing that disappointment. Here's the first fill in the blank on your message outline. Great marriages and great relationships of any type are intentional. They are intentional. They take time, they take commitment, and they especially take effort. Again, the great missionary Paul, writing to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, wrote these words. He says, "Make every effort," you may want to underline that, "make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit." Now, most of people have an annual job review. Many of you have an annual medical checkup. Some of you have an annual financial checkup. Today, we're going to do a relational checkup this morning on that. Now, this is a no elbows message, okay? You're going to be very tempted as we go through this to elbow somebody sitting right beside you. So here's what I want you to do. Go ahead and get the elbow out and do it right now. Go ahead, give them a little elbow, a little nudge. Let's get that out of the way because this is a no elbow message. This morning, we're going to be looking at the six building blocks of a satisfying relationship. I want to start out by showing you a clip from two guys I've learned tons about marriage from. Let's see, Johnny and Chachi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Smalley, and I've been helping marriages for years improve, and I've got a couple of friends who have some very unique insights into marriage, and I want you to meet them.
Hey, thank you, Gary. My name is Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
And you know, marriages is something that I think we're all excited about and something that we think we can bring a lot of wisdom to. Isn't that right, Dr. Dobson?
Smalley?
Oh, well. Oh. That's our faux pas.
Yes, sir,
we got some killer marriage tips we think are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No dancing. When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences.
For her.
It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun, but make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No, that's...
Yeah, It is.
When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think, and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents, but putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's a classic. Okay.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
You know, guys, those are kind of horrible tips.
Okay.
I guess she didn't like them that much.
I mean, when you think about it, those were killer tips, and I think they'd, like, kill most marriages.
Well, I guess we're at an impasse then.
Yeah. Awkward.
Hey, Gary, here's an idea, though. To keep the video rolling, let's just do the robot at the end and send this thing off with some fun, if you know what I'm saying. We gonna do that with us?
I tell you what, I was, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by this. It's kind of, like, weird.
There is definitely a lot we can learn from Johnny and Chachi on that. Let's look at the six building blocks of a satisfying relationship. The first building block is communication. It is communication. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17, the scripture tells us this. Reliable communication permits what? Progress. Permit progress. Here's a no-brainer. If you want to make progress in your relationship, your marriage, you got to talk. You got to talk. Fill in the blank goes like this. Communication is a skill that must be learned. It is a skill that must be learned. Johnny and Chachi reminded us that we're to finish our spouse's sentences and we're to gather our thoughts while they or she speaks or he speaks type of thing. That's why those are called killer marriage tips. They will kill a relationship on that. How many of you, don't answer this necessarily out loud, but how many of you thought before you were married, man, when we get married, we're going to have so much time to spend together and we'll be together all the time and we'll be able to talk. And is that true? Is that how it kind of plays out? Or does life happen in your relationship? Your schedule fills up. Here's the definition of effective communication. It is a connection between people that allows for an exchange of thoughts, feelings, and ideas, and it leads to mutual understanding. Now, that sounds very simple, but communication is anything but simple. Look at these four primary principles of communication. Here's the first one. The message sent is not necessarily the message received. The message you send, that you speak, is not necessarily the message you received. How many times have you said something and later on came back and said, but I told them? Just because you told them you sent the message didn't mean that's the message they received. Here's the second principle. It's impossible not to communicate. It is absolutely impossible not to communicate. Every action, whether intentional or unintentional, communicates. Even if you said, I'm just going to ignore him or her, you are communicating by ignoring them. Here's the third principle. Every message has both content and feeling. This is one that we fail sometimes to understand. There's content, it's what we say, but there's also feeling. This is referring to body language, to vocal tone. Words are only part of the communication process. And when there are discrepancies between our words and how we come across emotionally, whether it's body language or vocal tone, then it causes confusion. If somebody says, I love you, but in a loud, angry tone, which one is it? Are they mad at you or do they really love you type of a thing? And then that leads to the fourth principle. Nonverbal cues are more believable than verbal cues. The nonverbal cues are more believable than verbal cues. And so when there's a discrepancy between content, the verbal, and the feeling, the nonverbal, which do you tend to believe? We would say, I'd believe the nonverbal. Not just what they say, but what else is coming across. Now, why is this so important? You're thinking, did we come to class, you know, communications 101 class? Why is this so important? Look at the fill in the blank. Good communication skills allow a couple to develop intimacy, and to be able to work through problem areas. We could make a statement to a large degree the success of your marriage relationship and your satisfaction will be dependent upon the degree you're able to communicate with one another. We also need to understand that men and women have different communication needs, that we have different communication needs. This should not come as a surprise if you're around children. Girls develop linguistic skills faster than boys do. They are more proficient at conversation. This is seen at a very early age, and it becomes a lifelong talent for ladies, all right? It's a lifelong talent. Women talk more. The average guy will talk 20,000 words a day, and the average lady will talk 30,000 words a day. Ladies, this explains to you that when your husband comes home at night and you want a dialogue, all he will do is grunt because he's used up his 20,000 words, okay? So he's done for the night, so that's why he grunts right there. Guys, you and I need to understand that the greatest needs of our wives is to communicate with us. It is to communicate. The fill in the blank goes like this. So you must make time, not take it. You got to make time to communicate. Periodically, I will say to Janie, honey, let's go out and get something to eat tonight. And she will say, we have food at home. I know we have food at home. But when we go out and we sit down, even if it's just for a sandwich, we talk. We talk. So it's not so much just about food. It's about here's an opportunity to talk. Now, with each of these six building blocks, you get a scale to rate yourself on. And so let's do that this morning. If you see on the bottom of this first point there, it's a rating scale from 0, not so hot, to 10, great on that. So if you say, when it comes to our communication skills are kind of minimal, that's probably around a 1, okay? That's not real good. If you say sometimes we're on the same wavelength, that's probably around a 4. If you plan a scheduled time each week to talk, man, you get a 10 on that one. Communication. The second building block of a satisfying relationship, it is consideration. Consideration. Ephesians 4:2, again, Paul writing to the Christians in the ancient city of Ephesus writes these words, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Humble and patient, gentle, bearing with one another in love. That reflects consideration. again writing to the Christians in Philippi. Philippians 2:4, Paul writes these words, "Each of you should look out not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." Consideration. Now, guys, this is especially true for us. We're usually not real good at this. And consideration is shown in the little things of life. Things like paying attention, listening to what they say, showing common courtesy, opening the car door, opening the door as you go into a restaurant or to a store for your wife, treating them with respect. Guys, bringing in the groceries in the middle of a game, a big game. You take time out to do this. This one's very important. Guys, always make sure you wait until she has both feet in the car before you take off. Just little things like that that make a big, big, big difference on that. Isn't it interesting how courteous we are while we're dating? So courteous. But once we get married, some of that kind of changes, doesn't it? Listen, this is called the five stages of the married cold. Five stages of the married cold. This is year one of the marriage. Baby darling, I am worried about that sniffle you have. I've called the paramedics to rush you to the hospital for a checkup and to get some rest. I know you don't like hospital food, so I'm going to bring you your favorite food from Olive Garden. Year two. Sweetheart, I don't like the sound of that cough. I've arranged for Dr. Johnson to make a house call. Let me tuck you in bed. Year three. Look, you look like you have a fever. Why don't you drive yourself down to the clinic, get some medicine. I'll watch the kids. Year four, look, be sensible. After you fed and bathed the kid and washed the dishes, you really ought to go to bed. And then year five, for Pete's sakes, would you stop coughing? I can't even hear the TV. Would you mind going in the other room while the game is on? You sound like a barking dog. How things change. How things change very quickly as far as it relates to being courteous to one another on that. A couple by the name of Stephen and Sue Simring wrote a book entitled How to Win Back the One You Love. And in their prescription to develop a strong relationship, they give nine key characteristics to do that. The very first one that they mention in their book is what they call protection. And here's how they define it. Treat each other with kindness and consideration. And then the next two on their list is empathy. Understand your partner's feelings and concerns. Number three is respect. Make sure that each partner's needs and contributions are indeed valued. Consideration, the Bible says, is a mark of wisdom. It is a mark of wisdom. Look at this verse in the scripture written by Jesus' brother James. James chapter 3, verse 17. And James writes these words, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving." And then what's the next word? It is also considerate. It is considerate as well. So if I ask you this morning, what's the opposite of being wise or wisdom? What's the opposite of that? You might say it might be the word foolish. You may even be the word, well, is stupid then type of thing. So what Scripture is telling us, when you and I are not considerate to our spouse, we're acting foolishly. We're actually being stupid, if you would, on that. So grade yourself on consideration. Where would you fall? If you say, "I'm considerate when I'm in a good mood," that's about a 2, all right? If you help when asked, that's only about a 5. But if you look for ways to lighten your mate's load, you can give yourself a 10 on that. Consideration. The third building block is compromise. Compromise. We have to be willing to compromise in our relationship. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Paul writing to the Christians in ancient Corinth. The great chapter on love. Here's one of the marks of love, he says. Love does not do what? Love does not demand its own way. Many times a couple will stand at an altar getting married and they will say, "I do," while subconsciously they may be thinking, "I will redo." And they'll make a fatal mistake in the marriage relationship. Here it is right here. A fatal mistake is this idea. Once we get married, I'll change him. I will change her. Now, if you're married here, I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to answer it out loud on the count of three. Does it work to try to change your marriage partner? Here's our answer. 1, 2, 3. Absolutely not, does it? If you're not married, listen to the voices of wisdom all around you, all right? It simply doesn't work on that. When you are dating, you have your best foot forward, do you not? You're trying to win your mate, so you have your best foot forward. Some people will say, "Hey, that's as good as it gets. It's all downhill after that." I hope not, but some people may say that. Let me just say this, especially if you're single. If there is a significant problem in your relationship while you were dating, something like alcohol, drug abuse, pornography, uncontrolled anger, issues with sexual integrity, look at the fill in the blank. The time to change a major problem in a relationship is before marriage, not after. Don't think, oh, they'll change once we get married. You're fooling yourself. The time to address the problem is before you ever get married. And when you fail to do that, two things happen. When you fail to do that, number one, you have less leverage as the relationship goes along, especially after you announce, hey, we're going to get married, that type of thing. You don't want to pull out of the engagement, so there's less pressure, if you would, to make changes. And here's a second thing that will happen. There's certainly less motivation to improve once you're married, because you've won your sweetheart, so to speak. You've won her or him, that type of thing. So there's less motivation. But you have power while you were dating. You say, well, what power do I have? You have this power to say, this is a significant problem in our relationship, and if you don't address it, we're done. That's your power. If you will not address this issue, it's a major issue. It can destroy our relationship once we get married. Then we're not going any further. That is the power that you have. Three facts of life. Number one, you will have conflict in marriage. You will have conflict in marriage. Do the math with me. One sinner plus one sinner equals what? Two sinners, all right? That is double trouble right there. You add in along the way a couple of sinnerlings down the road, you got a family full of trouble now. I mean, you just got conflict going on. Number two fact of life, there are going to be some issues that you'll never completely agree upon. Some issues you'll never completely agree upon. You are just different. And that's kind of the spice of life. If you were both the same, you wouldn't need but one of you. All right, there's differences there. That adds to the relationship. And during those times, that's where you have to come to disagree agreeably. Disagree agreeably. Here's the third fact of life. Compromise is the evidence of real love. And that's what Paul wrote. Love does not demand its own way. There's going to be areas that you must communicate and compromise in. Let me give you some examples. Vacations. You say, oh, I love to be on the run every day. Action-packed, learning, historical, love it. The other says, I like to sit at the beach all day long. You got to compromise on those types of things. Things like, how do you raise your kids? How often do you make love? How do you spend your money? How often do you see your in-laws or your parents? How do you spend off days or vacations, holidays, that type of a thing? Somebody once said this, that more marriages die from inflexibility than anything else. Because we can be stubborn. We don't want to change. We don't want to negotiate. We want things done only our way. Fill in a great relationship, there is a give-take attitude. There is a give-take attitude. And at times, we must be willing to meet our spouse in the middle. Again, in the book from the Simmerings, their fourth characteristic of a successful and a marriage just building on solid ground, so to speak, is flexibility. And they define it this way, be ready and willing to give more than you receive at any given time. If you have to win all the time, your marriage is going to be in great trouble. So grade yourself on, consider a rather compromise. If you say, I'm stubborn until I get my way, that's a zero, okay? You give yourself a zero on that. If you say, we stay with the issue or I stay with the issue until we work it out, man, go up to an 8 on that. If you're the type of person who says, I do more than my share, give yourself a 10. That's the third building block. The fourth building block is courtship. Courtship. Again, from the book by the Simmerings, their last three qualities of a great relationship or building a great relationship is this. Number five is enjoyment. Make fun and humor central to your relationship. Number six is care. Be generous with the attention, time, and energy that you give to each other. And then number seven is touching. Maintain the affection and excitement that comes from close physical contact. There's a great book, if you've never read it, it's called His Needs, Her Needs by Willard Harley. He actually revised it a few years ago. He's a Christian marriage counselor, and after just by that at that time it was like 25 years. Now it'd be like 30 to 40 years of working with couples. When he wrote his book, he listed the five greatest needs of the guy in marriage and the five greatest needs of the wife in marriage. It's a very good read on that. Ladies, let me ask you this. What do you think is the number one need of the man in the marriage relationship? Just throw out an idea for me. What do you think it might be? sex. Thank you so much for being brave to say that. Whoever said that, that is indeed, that's the number one thing. So guys, I got an X-rated verse for you right here, straight from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Be happy, yes, rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let her breast and tender embrace satisfy you. Let her love alone fill you with delight. Now guys, here's your question. What do you think is the number one need of the wife in the marriage relationship? Somebody said sex, and it's not. It's affection. There's a difference, isn't there, ladies? Affection is the number one need of the wife. Fill in the blank for you. The real problem in many marriages is this. Couples stop dating. Couples stop dating. Somebody put it this way. If there was more courting in marriage, there'd be fewer marriages in court. I think there's some truth in that. Isn't it interesting when you think about it? We stopped doing what we did to win our spouse. We dated. We spent time together. We stopped doing that after we get married. And think about this. We see each other on a married daily basis at the worst possible times. In the morning, when you are rushed, when you are pressured, got to get to work, got to get the kids up, that type of thing. And then in the evening when you come home, you're tired, you're irritable, and you're exhausted. We have to find times to keep dating. Fill in. Continuing to date helps a couple transition, and this is huge, from passionate love to compassionate love. From passionate to compassionate love. This is rarely talked about. This is absolutely crucial. Because when you see a long-term committed relationship, they are made of compassionate love, which is far deeper than passionate love. It is compassionate love that involves communication and commitment and caring and affection and support. I remember the first time that I saw this in action when I was in seminary, in graduate school. We had a professor. He was one of our missions professor. He and his wife were career missionaries in Nigeria. But she developed MS, and they had to come home from the mission field. And so he was now a professor at the seminary. Her MS had degenerated to the point where she was in a wheelchair, bound to a wheelchair. And to see this professor, everywhere you saw on campus, to see him push his wife around, to see the loving, tender care that he gave to his wife in that condition when she could not even help herself. It was compassionate love. Compassionate love that enabled them to go a lifetime together on that. The fill in the blank goes like this. Develop things that you enjoy doing together, whatever they may be. But find those things, those shared experiences, plan them, and then do them. Ecclesiastes 9:9, a wisdom writing. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. So grade yourself on this fourth one, on courtship. If you say, we are too busy to date, you get a 1, all right? If you say, hey, we share more chores than we do joy, that's a 3. You have a weekly date night? Man, you get a 10 on that one. The fifth building block to a satisfying relationship is commitment. It is commitment. Now, last week in our message, we talked a lot about commitment. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it today. If you missed last week's message, always a reminder, all of our messages are online. They're archived. If you go to our webpage on the homepage, you can just see right at the bottom. You can just click right on that. It carries you right to the current message. In fact, the last 3 are on that first page of the homepage. If you're looking for a message that's been given a few weeks before that, go to the top, click messages, and you'll find all of our messages archived. You can also get a message, download a message outline as well on that. Here's one of the things that we emphasized last week. Fill in the blank for you. You will never build a great remarriage. You'll never build a great marriage if divorce is an option. Now, we talked about the fact that divorce happens even among Christians. We talked about that last week, so again, won't spend a lot of time on it. Here's the Malachi 2:16 verse. I referenced this last week. It wasn't on your outline. God says this, I hate divorce. I hate divorce. Make sure that you do not break your promise to be faithful to your wife. And we talked all about that last week. We talked about this idea of making a commitment that divorce is not an option. Here's what you're basically saying. We're going to work through our problems. We will work through our problems. We will not just walk away from them. We will work through them. We said things like this. Sometimes you have to work through the tough stuff to get to the really good stuff. We also talked about the idea that if you can begin to work through your problems, as new problems come your way, there's virtually nothing that you will not be able to handle and work through if you have done this as a practice in your life, in your married life. Fill in the blank for you. Commitment makes trust and intimacy possible. Commitment is what makes trust and intimacy possible. If I'm afraid that you might abandon me, I will never fully trust you. If I'm afraid that you might abandon me, leave me, I will never fully trust you. And if I don't trust you, you will never reach the intimacy stage in your relationship. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about that compassionate love, that depth of relationship where true joy is found. Here's a principle of oneness in marriage. Here it is. When my spouse has a problem, we have a problem. When my spouse has a problem, we have a problem. Why? Because in Genesis 2:24 it says, for this reason, this cause of marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. So when my spouse has a problem, we have a problem. We are one. Do not be like Tonto and the Lone Ranger. You remember the Lone Ranger and his sidekick, his Indian guide Tonto? They were one time surrounded by a band of hostile Indians all around them. And the Lone Ranger looked at Tonto and he says, Tonto, we have a problem. And Tonto looked back and said, what do you mean we, Paleface? Do not do that in your marriage relationship. Now, here's the problem in our society today. It's easy to think instead of working through the problem, I'm just going to get a new problem-free relationship. That's the temptation in our society. Let me just reiterate, there's no such thing as a problem-free relationship, all right? There's no such thing. Again, the time to think about commitment is before you make it. The time to think about commitment is before you make it. If you cannot enter into the marriage relationship with a commitment for it to last a lifetime, I would encourage you, don't get married. Don't get married. Commitment, and the fill in the blank goes like this, commitment means being willing to be unhappy for a while. It means maybe being unhappy for a while problems are being worked out. You can actually make a case that there is a time and a place that you may need to separate temporarily. Now, why would you do that? Especially if there's things like physical abuse. If there's abuse of alcohol or drugs, you may need to separate for a while. Why do you do that? So the one person especially can get help and get wholeness back into their life, deal with their problem, and then you come back. Once that happens, you come back together to begin to live out that marriage relationship, to be reunited. So often when you hear of a relationship not working out, you'll hear this said, well, we're just not compatible. We're just not compatible. Look at the fill-in. Incompatibility is often, not always, but often it is really just self-centeredness. That we're not willing to change. We're not willing to compromise. And here's the truth of the matter. Fill in for you. Our marriage will become what we're committed to making it. Your marriage, my marriage, will become what we are committed to making it. So how are you doing in this area of commitment? If you say, I'm thinking of leaving without really trying to work things out, you get a zero. All right? If when you are arguing with your spouse, you use the threat of divorce, you get a negative one. That is hitting below the belt. You never do that in the marriage. You never use that as a threat. That is hitting below the belt. If you say, hey, divorce is not an option for us, we're going to try to work through these things together, then give yourself a 10. The final building block in developing this foundation for a satisfying and healthy marriage is Jesus Christ. It is Christ. This is by far the most important building block of the six. And you say, why is that, Russ? Look at this fill in the blank. Because Christ is the one who gives you and me the power and the desire to do the other five things. That's where it comes from. It comes from our relationship with Christ. Again, the great missionary Paul writes these words, I can do everything through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. When Paul wrote this, he was in prison, pretty much waiting a death sentence. And he says, in spite of these horrible circumstances, Christ will give me the strength that I need to get through this difficult time. He will do the same for you and me in marriage. Philippians 2:5, Paul writes these words, your attitude towards each other should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Well, what was his attitude towards you? Well, here's some of the characteristics. Christ's attitude towards you and me was this. It was unconditional and is unconditional love. It is putting others before our own needs. It is forgiving. It is patient. It is kind. It is treating others the way that we would like to be treated. Let me just say this for every one of us here this morning. If you're married, look at this, fill in. The greatest thing you and I can do for our spouse, the greatest thing you can do for your spouse is become a more godly person. The greatest thing you can do for your spouse is to become a more godly person. Now, this next thing I'm going to say is not 100% foolproof, but it is more times true than not. The more committed you are to Christ, the more committed, generally speaking, you will be to your marriage, and the greater chance you will have to have a satisfying and fulfilling relationship. So how are you in your relationship with Christ? Let's grade ourselves on this one. If your spouse wants to go to small groups and you just won't do it, guys, girl, you get a zero on that one. Man, you got to grow together. You got to grow together on that. If you say, hey, I have a daily quiet time with God, that's a seven. That's good. If you're in a small group with your spouse and you're consistently going, building friendships, you get a 10 on this one. That's a great thing to do. As we close this morning, two things you and I need to make sure we do. Number one is this, commit your life to Jesus Christ. If you have never made a commitment of your life to Christ, I would encourage you to give consideration to that most important relationship with Jesus. And you say, well, how would you even do that? You simply express that desire to Him. I want to begin following you. I want to begin following you, Jesus. And then you begin to take simple steps in that process of following Christ. And the second thing I would encourage you to do if you're married, and that is to commit your marriage to Jesus. Commit your marriage to Jesus. One of the ways you can do this, and guys, I'm looking at you. You need to take the leadership in this. This coming Friday night, 6:30 right here, is a marriage encounter event. It's been years since we've done anything like this, bringing in an outside speaker from Orange County to come. We're going to have dinner together. Tony is a chef, and he has a 5-star dinner planned for you. He told me what we were having, and I'm going like, you got to be kidding me, man. And so we got dinner together, have that guest speaker, and then the next morning, Saturday morning, we're going to come back for a couple of sessions from 8:30 to 10, and then we're done. But what an unusual and wonderful opportunity to build depth into your marriage. Do not miss that. You can sign up for that today. Would encourage you to do just that. Well, let's look at our next steps today as we close. Which of these six areas do you believe God wants you to work on in your life? Which of the six just really stands out? Would you just write that? This is for you. Write that down. Which one would it be? And then look at this. If you're married, which area does your spouse feel you need to work out? Now, this is a neat little exercise because the first building block is communication, right? Well, this is something you can ask your spouse, which one do you think, honey? This is the one I think. See if you match. Some good communication can happen there. And then the second one is this, whether single or married, I'm committing to become a more godly person. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, thank you so much for the good gift of marriage that you have given to us. And God, I pray that New Hope would be a place where we can help build strong, healthy, growing marriages. Marriages that become everything that we desire and hope and dream about as we enter into that marriage relationship. And Father, I pray for our marriages here, for marriages that are struggling, that they would look to you, God, to give them the strength, the direction, the help that's needed to work through those problem areas of their marriage. And Father, for those who have worked through those difficult times and are enjoying the fruits of being together in the long term, we look to them as examples. I thank you even for this morning of somebody who passed by and said, you know what, my husband and I have been married for 64 years now. What an incredible, incredible example and testimony. Father, that's what we want to see, that we're in it for the long haul, but they would become everything we hope they would be. We ask that you help us to do this now in Jesus' name.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.